Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Hariom Pipes Q3 FY25 earnings conference call, hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and very warm welcome to Hariom Pipes Industries Limited Q3 FY25 post-result earnings call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services. On the call today, we have a management team being represented by Mr. Rupesh Kumar Gupta, Managing Director, Mr. Amitabh Bhattacharya, Chief Financial Officer, and Mrs. Rekha Singh, Company Secretary. We will begin the call with key thoughts from the management team. Thereafter, we'll open the floor for Q&A. I would now like to request the management to share their perspective on the performance of the company. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Rupesh Kumar Gupta from Hariom Pipes. It is with great pride and gratitude that I address you today. As we reflect on our journey this quarter, I am sharing the progress of your company has made, despite evolving market conditions. The Indian steel industry has experienced shifts this year, influenced by global market trends and temporary constraints in raw material pricing and supply chain. Despite these challenges, we have leveraged our resilience and strategic vision to maintain a strong foothold in the market. With the easing of these pressures, we are now witnessing a positive revival, especially in the thriving infrastructure and construction sectors. This momentum reaffirms our belief in the long-term potential of the industry. In this evolving scenario, your company has continued to deliver robust performance for Q3 FY25. We achieved a total income of 30,036.58 lakhs, culminating in 95,979.54 lakhs for the first 9 months of FY25, an impressive 16% year-on-year growth. These results underline our ability to adapt, innovate, and sustain growth in the face of adversity. Our profitability metrics highlights our operational strength and efficiency. We recorded an EBITDA of 3,962.51 lakhs for Q3 and 12,657.50 lakhs for 9 months FY25. Reflecting a notable 31% year-on-year growth, our EBITDA margins have improved to 13.21% in Q3 FY25 compared to 11.64% in Q3 FY24, showcasing our unwavering focus on value creation. Moreover, our operating profit for Q3 stands at 2,756.65 lakhs, with a cumulative total of 9,232.99 lakhs for the 9 months, representing 21% year-on-year growth. Our profit after tax has grown by 11% year-on-year, reaching 1,122.96 lakhs for Q3 and 4,448.58 lakhs for the 9 months. These results serve a testament to our robust strategies, efficient cost management, and commitment to sustainable growth. Looking ahead, we are optimistic about the opportunities in India's rapidly expanding steel market, driven by government initiatives and the growing demand from critical sectors. With a clear roadmap and strategic focus, we are well positioned to capitalize on these opportunities and continue delivering value to our shareholders. I would also like to draw your attention to our detailed financial results and investor presentation, which have been shared on the stock exchange for your review. For any specific financial and compliance-related queries, our CFO, Mr. Amitabh Bhattacharya, and Compliance Officer, Ms. P.S. Rekha Singh, are available to address your queries. Thank you for your unwavering confidence in us, and we continue to look forward. Thank you.
Sir, should we open the floor for question and answer session? Should we begin the question and answer session? Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chirag Achani from Negotia Investments. Please go ahead. Mr. Chirag, I would request you to unmute your line and speak, please.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Sir, if we see last two quarter, there has been degrowth in quarter and quarter wise. So, any specific reason leading this?
Okay. Any other questions in this parameter?
Yes. Oh, sorry?
Apart from that, you have any other questions? So that togetherly
yes,
I can start that.
Okay. And sir, if we see last 8 quarters, our Q3 is lowest amongst the 4 quarters. So, rational behind this? These are my two questions.
Okay. Well, thank you for your question and concern. The sequential revenue decline was preliminary due to weaker steel price and temporarily slowdown in the demand from key sectors such as construction and automotive, especially in Q3. Additionally, the pricing pressure in the domestic market and an industry-wide correction in selling price impacted overall realization. Despite these challenges, our volume increased by 17% year-on-year in Q3 FY25, and we successfully offset some revenue pressure through higher value-added product sales. We remain confident in our long-term demand outlook with government-backed infrastructure project and solar structure continuing to drive steady growth. That is your first question, why it is lower comparatively to the Q2. And your second question is, why it is Q3, Q4 is better than Q3. So basically in the Q4, it's a summer season and always the construction and all engineering activities that mostly happened during the course of January to April. So therefore, it is not for Hariom. In the segment-wise, you can check from the past 4-5 years data also, always the fourth quarter is the best quarter for the industry.
Okay, sir. And sir, quarter four is the best. So, sir, any FY24 target and FY25 value and volume wise?
So basically, we are targeting total volume growth is almost on 20% growth we are expecting. 20% growth we are expecting, and we expect steady growth in FY25, almost all 20%, which is reaching to some around 2,38,000 metric tons, with a increase in PAT value terms also. And in FY26, we anticipate continued double-digit revenue growth also.
Okay, so this 20% volume wise, correct?
Yeah.
And sir, when will be we were at 100% capacity utilization? If I remember, last call you said in 2 years of time. So still on that target?
In terms of CapEx, the CapEx investment, particularly in high margin product categories like galvanized pipe and engineering structure require an initial ramp-up period. However, early signs of demand transactions are strong and we expect to see improved revenue contribution over the next 2 quarters. One of the most significant contributors to our capex-driven growth is the galvanized product segment, which has witnessed almost a 38% year-on-year increase in sales, reaching almost 86,934 metric tons till 9 months FY25 comparatively to 62,876 metric ton in 9 months FY24. This strong performance demonstrates growing market demand and effectiveness of our capacity expansion. With a balanced approach to capex deployment, cost optimization, and high-margin product growth, we expect meaningful returns on investment to be fully realized in the coming financial periods, reinforcing our strong revenue and profitability trajectory.
Okay, and sir, one last question. Any net margin target? If I see it is continuing declining, our margins. So any target for future?
If you see the cost efficiency wise, we are doing extremely good. Our electricity cost price is cutting down from the last year to this year almost on more than 30%. And raw material impact in raw material margin is also constrained. Despite the fluctuation in raw material rate and disturb in the volatility in the steel price continuously in the past 9 months, which we are facing in this segment from almost all after 3 years. Even though you can say after COVID period, this is the first time in this segment we are facing this kind of challenge. Despite that, our operating costs are constrained and we are continuously minimum our operating cost. And due to that only, we are able to manage the margin and we are very much confident the margin will be fruitfully growing in the coming future. Because this is the lowest price which we have seen in the steel market. The steel price is rapidly, gradually grow. And as and when the margin will be growing, the realization price, the margin will be much more showing good. Despite that, our part-ton EBITDA is highest compared to the any market present scenario.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhagat from Prosperity Wealth Management Private Limited. Please go ahead. Mr. Bhagat, I would request you to unmute your line and speak, please.
Yeah, just a moment. Hello. Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. Could you please provide an update on the 700 plus fundraising? Especially, I'm interested in the estimated timeline and the purpose behind it. Are we expecting the fundraising to support debt reduction or any to facilitate inorganic growth opportunities?
Regarding this, basically, in the earlier con call also, and so many times we have clarified that, the present scenario, we are not, the fundraising is deferred for the time being. And the company is, whatever the growth, they are always focused on the for growth capital, and company is planning to grow managed by their own, and it is segmental wise and it is a process wise. First, we have to focus on our whatever the capacity, existing capacity we are having, that resource we have to optimize level we have to use. At the same time, the company very much focused to add it various other sectors, value-added products, and our product basket is also, we are expanding, and we are also penetrating a new geographical region. By that, we are already getting some government and private sectors, corporate sector also, very good volume of orders. And then in the coming future also, we are expanding like that. As and when, at the present moment, we are not going for any sort of fundraising. This is for the time being, it is deferred.
Okay, understood. So my second question would be, could you please comment on our guidance of achieving 4 lakh metric tons in volume and 3,500 crore revenues? On this, could you please comment?
So 4 lakh metric tons of volume and 2,500 crores of revenue, which we have disclosed, I think in the mid of 2022. At that time, the steel demand and steel price is in the top notch, and the market and the demand, domestic growth, GDP growth is also looking very positive, and we are still very much optimistic, and our entire team focused, and our channel are very much professionally handled, and we are very much keen to reach our goal first, as I said just a few minutes before, and it will be, we ensure that that figure definitely will be reached, maybe by the end of, instead of maybe by the end of 26, it can be somewhere around 3 to 4 months extra it will take. But definitely Hariam reach this target, definitely. Because whatever the present capacity we are having, that optimum level is this much, 4 lakh metric tons.
Okay. Like FY27, we can expect this run rate?
By the end of, not exactly financial year, it is difficult for us to estimate or telling at this moment. But definitely, I am rest assured that as a growing demand of various value-added products, which we are already focused and we are getting some value-added product order, despite our major contribution by the thin pipes, we continue to enhance efficiency through automation, advanced manufacturing, and cost optimization. Our, as you said, in our presentation also, we have taken 9.5% market share in the 0.3 mm to 2.5 mm Indian steel pipe segment, as reported by KF. So there is a high margin specialized product. Apart from that, we are doing regularly various other product portfolios, which allow us to reach our target within the span of somewhere around 18 to 20 months to reach that goal.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Just last question from my end. What is the debt that we'll be expecting for next year? Are we expecting to reduce debt going ahead?
The debt part is always the debt part, and our debt is always within the parameter. There is no debt equity ratio remain comfortable level, and we are continuing focus on optimizing working capital to reduce debt over time, with the cash conversion cycle expected to improve from almost all from FY23. If you see that FY23, we have 153 days in FY24 to 120 days in FY27, it forces further reduction in reliance on external borrowings, and the debt will be coming down by our internally financial stability.
Thank you so much, sir. That's it for my
name. From the line of Akhil Parekh from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the demand scenario. I mean, you mentioned that fourth quarter is usually the best quarter for us. Are we seeing any improvement? Because we're almost now mid of Feb. How has been the demand in Jan and mid of Feb as compared to, say, last year?
So basically, sir, if you see that from the last 9 months performance, our demand, we have in quantity, we have almost all growth in the last 9 months. We have sold around 138,567 metric tons. Comparatively to these 9 months, we have done almost all 171,254, which is a 24% growth in the volume. Similar line of activity, quarter on quarter, this is fourth quarter is the best quarter, and we are expecting almost all near to 235,000 of metric ton of the total volume we are expecting to, it will be, we are able to sell.
235,000. Okay, 235,000.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. So that's good to hear. And in terms of pricing, right, I mean that the decline has continued in third quarter as well. Are we seeing any price stabilization? You did mention that we are probably closer to bottom of the pricing. Would it be fair to assume that we are like fourth quarter onwards, we might see improvement in the realization now?
So basically, the pricing factor, the pricing factor, if you are see that key, the pricing factor already it is corrected. And now, from now onwards, the steel, already government is started spending in infrastructure sector also, and the steel price is the bottom line. Now we are expecting from gradually stabilized, supported by the government infrastructure and spending and recovery of global demand also. So from that, from now onwards, the steel price is going a little bit up gradually, and the price corrections are beyond this, whatever the price correction was happened, beyond that, it is we are not thinking ki beyond that it will happen.
Okay. But have we seen some improvement in month of January?
Yeah, already it is recorded in our January.
Okay.
We have got a very positive approach from the market. And not only earlier we are based on pipe, now apart from pipe, we are having other product basket also, which is also doing extremely well. As I in earlier conversation also I mentioned that galvanized also, where is the 30% plus growth are there. So we are getting very positive response from the market on the so many of value added products which we are not cater in earlier.
Sure. Sir, in terms of industry salience, right, like because some of the top, say, two or three industries where saliency of our products is very high and which have been impacted, say, in last two, three quarters, right, or there have been some weakness.
So, basically, on industry scenario, you will aware that this year there is a low in demand. And price corrections are happened, and some imported coil also dumping in India. So these all are happened, and government spending is also not happening properly as they have allocated in the budget in FY25. But now government has also started, and the demand is also coming. So on that basis, we can expect that our CAGR of the will be increasing 8 to 10%, as India is expecting to grow CAGR by 8 to 10%. So therefore, our growth of CAGR in the last 5 years is also witnessed for 34% growth trajectory. So in such scenario, we are also expecting some growth.
Just to be specific, right? My question is like whether a dependency on the government-led projects is high, or is it more to do with the private investments which can give us the impetus?
No. We are not directly, earlier also Hariom is not directly contributed any government project dependency. The overall market economy are there. So on that basis, when the government is investing in the big project, surrounding area and surrounding private projects also coming actively. So therefore, automatically it is happened.
Sure.
City only not created by a government. It is created by government and private bodies also. So similar way, the demand is coming in both the ways.
Okay. Got it. Sir, and lastly, one bookkeeping question. I mean, I don't know if you have that number handy, but like we would be doing, sir, roughly 160, 170 crore of EBITDA for this year. In terms of operating cash flow or conversion, say, from EBITDA to operating cash flow, there would be stand roughly ballpark.
So basically, sir, if you see our operating cash flow, already we have disclosed in our Q2 results along with balance sheet, where you can see that the operating cash flow is coming positive 52.88 crores, right? So we are happy to announce that we are able to manage these operating cash flows growth trajectory, and in December also, as we have not officially disclosed, because as per SEBI guidelines, we need not to disclose that balance sheet and cash flow in the Q3, and so we have not disclosed. But our, or as investors, we would like to share with you, our cash flow is remain constant and strength. Similar to
okay, great. So this is good to hear, and thanks a lot, and best wishes for coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishit Javeri from PI Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, I have a couple of questions. First, on the debt part, what would be your current debt level as of December?
As on December, our current debt is just a minute. Just a minute, sir. As we have the total debt is around 409 crores, roughly.
And out of that, what would be the long-term debt?
Long-term debt is almost all 123 crores.
Okay. So we have increased it from the September number. Any specific reasons for that, sir?
For September? Sorry, from September 133 it was.
Okay. Okay, sir. And sir, with the
long-term debt was 133.57 to be precise. Okay, so it is come down to from 133.57 to almost 124.
Okay. And sir, in this quarter we did around 57,200 metric ton of volume. What would be the average price realization which we achieved in this quarter?
The average price realization is 52,431.
Okay, and which you are guiding is a multi-year low pricing which we are getting, correct?
Yes, you check with the last quarter also, Q3 or Q2 also, versus Q2 versus Q3, there is a 6% downfall in the price.
Okay, so as per you, what would be the optimal level? Above 55,000 would be an optimal level that we plan in Q4. What is the growth we expect in pricing scenario?
Pricing scenario, if we are taken into the December figure also 52,000, it was happening, this is the lowest price. From now onwards, we are expecting it will be grow, the price will be grow gradually. Not immediately, but gradually.
Understood, sir. But in the March quarter, how much do we expect? Do we expect 55,000 range in the Q4?
54, 55, you can expect like that. But it is very difficult for me to say upfront this much can be happened because it's all depend on market.
Okay, sir.
So,
I would like to add that basically we are not concentrating only on pipe market. We are even concentrating on other value-added products which are enhancing the profitability of the management and the company. So basically our whole goal is to address onto the profitability area instead of working on only the line of competition and others. So the focus and the gear has been changed of the management to understand the have the more grip on the area where the competition is very low.
Okay, sir. Understood. So one more question on the China dumping part with the U.S. imposing additional tariffs. So globally, obviously, it will have adverse and indirect effect on India as well, which might further dampen the prices in the coming quarters. So what's your outlook on this scenario, sir?
So we don't think basically this would be a great thing which will happen and the government of India will not focus on too. Government of India is also acting promptly on enhancing and respecting the infrastructure and the capacity enhancements which other primary players are doing. So they have to focus on things, and this is not at par with only one particular company. It's with all the companies established in India for steel segment.
Okay, understood. And sir, on the guidance part, earlier we had 25,000 crore guidance for FY26. I think that will be pushed to by 3 to 4 months, which you guided. So can we expect a 2,000 crore mark by FY26?
So the volume part we are rest assured because the price is not in our hand, as Amitabh has also addressed you before on this particular line, the pricing is not in our hand. We cannot assure you on the pricing and the top line of that, but assessment on this particular pricing as today, whatever is happening, we can estimate on volumes. So volumes, we are doing good.
Now, if all we see last year versus this year also, I think around 18% drop in the pricing is already there. So the volume is more important than the value of the product what we see. And our focus is onto the profitability instead of getting only the volume. That is the whole focus on.
Okay, but sir, in an 55 to 56,000 price range by next year, do we expect a 2,000 crore mark with the volumes in the range of...
Just a second.
Kitna jayega? If you calculate 56,000, it's coming around 1,700.
Okay.
1,700 to 1,750.
Okay, understood.
It is only on this particular volume level, but because the focus of the company has changed to the value-added products, so hence the profitability and the numbers will obviously grow. We are a bit confident on that.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vimok Shah from Goyam Labdi FinTech Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I wanted to know, like, regarding the geographical expansion plan, what are the specific timeline and milestones for the expanding dealer network in the Western and Northern India?
So basically, sir, we are actively working on expanding our dealer network, particularly in Gujarat and Maharashtra. And our focus is on increasing penetration in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities, while also strengthening our B2B partnership with construction, automotive and solar power industries, fan industries, some government enterprise also, where we have already started supply the material also. Automobile sector also. The recently introduced galvanized product segment will help us to cater in new industries and markets. As you rightly said, geographically-wise, we are slowly and gradually we are moving forward. And it has happened, reflecting in our results also, in the coming future also, it is clear that our strategies also.
Got it. So what are the current demand trends for the steel pipes and the tubes, particularly in the infra sector?
So basically, if you see our presentation also, in that presentation also, it is reviewed by CARE also. That as per the CARE review, the total pipe segment, almost all 96 lakhs pipes are demanding are there. But in that pipe segment, almost all 15% are below 0.5 mm to 2.5 mm are requirement are there, where Harium contributed almost all 9% plus. So this is the present demand scenario, which is audited figure as per FY24 data, which I can say loudly and clearly as per care research report on the basis, which already we have discussed in our presentation also. And
okay.
In the coming future also, we are expecting that as the your Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities are growing and urban economy are strengthened, so therefore this demand in the coming future also, it is coming very positive way.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Harshit Karka from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Sir, so I wanted to ask, can you give some color on what would be your EBITDA margins for your value-added products like galvanized pipes?
For this particular quarter or you are talking about
in general, sir.
Overall 9 months?
In general, sir, for 9 months and also for this quarter.
Okay, so in general, last year it is much better, but this year also we are getting around near to 6,700 to 6,500 to 6,700 in between, roughly you can say, for the quarter of December 24. If you are taken into that 9 months, it is coming 7,000.
All right. Thank you.
for galvanized pipes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarah from UVR Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, in your presentation, you mentioned that today company has 800 plus SKUs. What is your targeted number of SKUs by FY 2018?
So, day by day, our SKUs are increasing, and that might be by the end of FY 2026, we can reach in the four digit also. So that means another minimum 200 SKUs also we are expecting to add it. It's okay. Not only pipe, it's pipe, coil and other products.
Okay, sir. So in ultra pipes, out of total capacity of 84,000 metric ton, what is the percentage that can be manufactured via DFT?
So ultra pipe, actually this total machines are under that
DFT.
Under that technology only. So whatever ultra is producing, that is under this technology, by that technology.
All right, okay.
Talking about technology, DFT is nothing but a technology.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so what is the range of pipes in terms of diameter and thickness that can be produced in MS tubes?
So basically, we are having 1.2 mm thickness. In MS pipes, we are having thickness of 1.2 mm. And CRGP pipes and coils from 0.6 mm thickness we are having. And in terms of diameter, we are having 9 mm to 180 mm diameter.
All right, sir. So one last question. What is the ROC you make without backward integration in order to make MS tubes, and ROC in when you make via primary route in MS tubes?
Sorry. Can you repeat once?
Yes, sir. So what is the ROC that we make without backward integration in order to make MS tubes, and ROC via primary route in order to make MS pipes?
So, madam, basically we are not submitting any segmental reporting. It is quite difficult, and moreover, I would like to clarify that our MS pipe route ROC is always from by the integrated part through. Without integration, we are not doing any ROC. And if you are talking about company ROC, overall ROC, as on December 24 is 18.1%.
Okay, all right, okay, thank you.
So it is quite difficult for us to classify this way, unless and until segmental reporting.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Dutt from Berman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity. Sir, in this quarter, we made an EBITDA of 7,000 rupees per ton. Can you give EBITDA per ton for MS pipe tubes, GI pipes, and the galvanized coil as well?
So you want to segregate, asking me the individual product-wise EBITDA?
Yeah, EBITDA per ton. Just a broad range would also be okay. I just wanted to get an idea.
For MS tubes, you can take roughly around 8,600 to 650. Scaffolding, that all the figures I am taking, telling you, exact figures I cannot say because it is not audited. It's a limited report, but the figure is almost all similar range. 8,600 you can take from MS tubes. Scaffolding you can take 11,500. And GP pipe is again 6,500 to 6,800 for this quarter.
Okay. Sir, in GP pipes, my understanding is you are not as backward integrated as you are in MS tubes because you have to buy HR coils and then make pipes from GP coil. So how are you making such high EBITDA per ton there as well? Because I believe converters in the industry typically make 3,000 in MS tubes, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, in MS tubes, converter is generating 3,000. as we are in MS2s, as we have the backward integration, so in furnace also we are having certain EBITDA. In rolling mill also we are having certain EBITDA. And in iron ore to sponge iron to manufacturing also we are having certain EBITDA. So altogether we are getting 8,500 plus EBITDA in MS5 despite this market scenario. And that as far as GP pipe and GP coil questions, if you check that the figure is 6,500 to 8,500 means almost all 2,000 lower than the MS tubes. That is why as we are our raw material source, we are purchasing from the outside. Therefore, our 2,000 rupees is lesser than the MS tubes. And from the market, why we are getting better margin? Because of we are producing 0.4 mm thickness coil also from our tandem mill. And as I said earlier also, ki our product, coil product and other product also, apart from GP pipe, that is used for specialized steel engineering sector, where we are getting better margin in terms of realization. So that is allow us to blended EBITDA is coming this much.
Got it. Thanks for that. Just one more question, sir. In the industry, primary players, right, people who purchase HR coils directly from steel producers and then make MS5, do you price your products slightly lower than those people, or is your pricing independent of their pricing?
So basically in the price segment, that is always depend by the market scenario. We are basically in our product, we are not compared with any primary or secondary steel producer. As far as Hariom concerned, Hariom brand, the management and the Hariom is as one that best market realizable value, we are selling our product and that is independent. We are not calculating or depending back calculation anything.
So adding on to your question, Mr. Nitesh, basically our performance is based on to dealer networking and all. It's not the distributors. So the pricing part, we get a better realization. That's the whole thing what we do.
Got it. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Rohit Sangvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and first of all, congratulations for maintaining the volume growth even in such a difficult time. I wanted to understand your progress.
Sorry
on
to interrupt, Mr. Sahil. I would request you to please use your handset.
Is this better?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for maintaining a strong volume growth in difficult times. My first question is, can you help us understand the progress on some of your B2B side contracts? I mean, you were working on signing a few new customers and contracts. Any progress on that front, especially on the few other government side also? Anything, any progress on that front?
So basically, for B2B, GP coils and others, during the quarter, the last 9 months, our total volume, 10% you can say, directly GP coils, in terms of volume, almost all 17,260 metric tons, we directly sold to B2B.
Okay. And on the total volumes, we are still at 15% of sales to B2B?
Yes.
Okay. And secondly, would you be able to help us understand how the working capital cycle will be reduced, especially on the inventory days and on the payable days, please?
So basically, sir, in terms of raw material, if you check with the raw material, so last year versus this year, almost all September 24 to, or you can say last 9 months versus, automatically it is coming down, raw material, overall raw material cycle days. So it is coming down, that consumable days is coming down to almost all
4 to 5 days, and similarly finished goods is also coming down, and the raw material segment also remain 1 to 2 days difference. Overall net working capital days to sales, if you are taking, it is coming down to from the last financial year to this financial year, last 9 months, it's coming down to almost 12 to 14 days. And we are managing this cycle continuously. In terms of receivables, we are approaching dealer finance through very much PSU banks or private banks to onboard our dealer, where we are getting our data holding days is coming down, and against our volume of sales, and at the same time we are taking credit from the manufacturer or direct suppliers, primary steel producers, so that our working capital holding operating cash flow becomes strengthening.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Richa Chaudhary from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Sir, in the last call, we had given a guidance of roughly 270,000 tons of volume. So do we see that happening, considering the run rate is roughly around 55 to 60,000 per like quarter? So do we see quarter four to be very strong?
Quarter four is strong, and we are expecting, as I earlier also clarified, that 20% growth in volume is there. And from last financial year to this financial year, our total volume of growth will be 20%. And it is along with the proportionate increase in pad value also in terms. And moreover, in terms of absolute figure in volume, so 2,70,000, whatever you said, it is little bit difficult, but somewhere around 2,38,000 to 2,40,000 will be reached.
Okay. And also, sir, could you just mention how much is the debt levels and cash on the balance sheet as of the last quarter?
Debt level, already I clarified that the total debt, long term and short term, is 409. And total outside liability is 516, and TOL versus TNW is almost on our 0.92. Which is below 1.
Okay, and one last clarification. Do we see any capacity expansion happening on the GP side for the next, 2 years?
In GP side, no. First, we are using our existing capacity to exhaust our existing capacity, and then execute it in phase basis. We align capacity with the market demand and capital availability. We have a long-term plans for utilizing this land and scalable capacity expansion.
So right now the GP capacity is 3 lakh tons, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Rahil, I would request
Hello.
You to please use your handset.
I am on my handset.
Yes, sir. I would request you to please speak a little louder. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so just one question. I believe it's the same on the volume front. So you've said you expect to close the year with 2.38 lakh tons, correct? Metric tons.
Yes.
Can we, cover the gap which we are missing out this year in the next year, financial year, FY26, and reach 3 lakh tons? Is that our target or aspiration?
For the next financial year, you are talking about 3 lakh metric tons, right?
Yeah, which we were kind of targeting for FY25, but we have fallen short.
For FY26, we can take this target for 3 lakh metric tons. So
okay.
Here and there, 10% plus or minus will be there. Because in the last financial year, we can only see the volume only. We can work on that, and we are definitely will be targeting and achieving.
And the average selling price, which is now gradually moving upwards, and expect it to continue ahead as well. What sort of bracket one can assume for the whole year? I mean, of course, you can't predict the prices, but like, where do you expect them to be?
At least it is, if it is coming to the line of FY22 performance, then the price was almost all 62,000 overall, all the value-added products togetherly. Then you can say it is nothing like it. We are always expecting in that kind of value again we'll be getting. But let's see what market will be.
Okay, okay, fair enough. Okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pankaj Motwani from Equirus Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So like my question was on like on the inventory part. So like, so I feel like there is a significant amount of inventory in your books. And like with the decline in the steel prices, so like what is the quantum of inventory losses you have booked in this quarter? And like also like despite these losses, the like the gross margins of your company appears to be stable. Like if I see gross margin, it is in the range of 24%. And sequentially, like in the September quarter, it was also in the same range, like 24%. So like I also want to understand, like despite this decline in the steel prices, how are you able to maintain the gross margins?
So basically, raw material price fluctuation are a common challenge in the industry. However, we have effectively mitigated their impact through strategic procurement, bulk purchasing efficiencies, and continuous process optimization. Our diversified product mix and agile pricing strategy have enabled us to maintain stable margins while staying competitive in a volatile market. Because of this strategy, we have successfully maintained our EBITDA margin, which is almost of 13.21% in Q3 FY25 comparatively to 11.64 in the Q3 FY24. So our EBITDA for Q3 25 was 39.63 crores, reflecting a 22% year-on-year growth. While for 9 months FY25, it reached 126.58 crores, making a 31% year-on-year increase. This demonstrates our ability to sustain profitability despite external cost pressure, reinforcing the strength of our operational efficiencies and strategies cost management. Apart from that, I'd like to add that power cost. The power cost after the raw material is a major factor for any steel industries, where we are able to manage the power cost in terms of almost of 32% reducing power cost. So which all together allow us to maintain our margin.
So a follow-up question on this, like I just want to understand, like, do you have booked inventory losses in this quarter because of the decline in fuel prices?
No, nothing is coming because as we have purchased, we are into that steel business from past more than two decades. The inventory loss, we are not holding any stocks prior purchasing. Therefore, the steel price, whether it is coming down or coming up, raw material, especially raw material, it's not impacted to our balance sheet. We are always maintaining the cycle and always our finished goods is always pre-booked, which we are lying in our factory premises. So therefore, we are not, so far, we are not booked any sort of inventory losses.
Like as for the accounting policy, like we have to value inventory on cost or NRV, which is lower. So like I just want to understand, like even with the decline in steel prices, so like we have to revalue inventory at lower cost because of the accounting policies. So I like just want your view on this, like why we are not booking inventory losses.
No, actually, as per if you see our P&L, we have not booked any inventory losses. And as I clearly explained you that due to that efficiency, cost efficiency, and our raw material cost also, if you checked with our raw material cost also quarter on quarter basis, that is also remain constrained because we are not purchasing in a bulk mode and not dumping the raw material. Therefore, the fluctuation of rate or change of rate or so lower of rate is not impacted to our financial.
Okay.
In short, basically, there's the strength of the management, how they manage their inventories in coming and outgoing. So the price fluctuation do not impact them, and we are good to it, basically.
And moreover, we are able to pass on the cost difference to the in the market itself.
Integrated
process.
Okay. And the second question was on the EBITDA pattern. Like, if you can see sequentially, like EBITDA pattern has been declined from 7,600 in quarter one to around 7,500 in quarter two, and in this quarter it is declined to 6,900. Like, what are the key reasons for this decline? And like, and also, what is the like way for guidance for the in FY26?
So basically, if you check with the realization price, that is when the realization price is quarter on quarter basis, it is coming down on an average 5 to 6%. In terms of EBITDA decline mode, is not in terms of that much of percentage. Okay. So due to that, our efficient operating operational capacity and efficient management skill, we are able to manage the EBITDA. It is quite a common thing that when the steel price is coming down, the realization price coming down, some in absolute figure value, something is lower, but not at that much as the realization price is coming down from the market.
But like, you just passed on the prices to the customers, so like, why are we facing decline on EBITDA?
We have passed on that whatever the additional differences, we have passed on to our customers, because we are not dumping the raw material in our premises as well as the finished goods. Therefore, the price fluctuation is not impact to our P&L and profitability. And as far as future questions of part-time EBITDA, yes, we are very much optimistic, and whatever our earlier FY22 also, we are earning that much of percentage of EBITDA. Again, we are confident too, it will be coming by, given by the market and demand also, through the demand.
Okay. So like, we can expect same EBITDA pattern for the coming quarters?
Exactly, specific numerical figure I cannot say, but yes, we are expecting positive.
Okay. And just one more question on the sponge iron capex status. So like, what is the status of the CM plant?
Regarding sponge iron expansion?
Yes.
So presently, just 20 days back, we have got the CFO approval, renewal approval from the Andhra Pradesh Pollution Control Board. Now we are applied for the EC and as well as CFE to the Pollution Control Board. As you are aware, that new government has formed. So last 1.5 years, all the policy of the state government was not actively doing. Now, after the new government, now they have started to work functioning properly, and we have already filed our application, which is into the pipeline. Recent past, we have got the CFO renewal process for the 100 TPD, and now we are again applying for another 100 TPD for CFE, which is in pipeline, and we are expecting within month or two, it will be received from the department. As and when we receive, we will start the construction for additional 100 TPD.
Thank you. The last question is from the line of Rishit Javeri from PI Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, wanted to highlight that do we plan any export plans in coming years? Like, are we planning to expand our geographical presence outside India?
Sir, as I said earlier also, we have SKU-wise, we have a lot of product baskets are addition in Haryom. So therefore, yes, very true. That options is also open for us, and we are closely working on that also. But when and how much it will happen, at present I have no practical data, so therefore I cannot disclose it. Otherwise, we are working closely on export market also.
Okay, sir. And do we need to incur any significant capex for at least next 2 to 3 years to reach that 4 lakh metric ton goal? Because I think post FY27, our capacity would be exhausted. So, any strong capex plans or not, sir?
So, capex investment, particularly in the high margin product categories like galvanized pipes. Already, I told in the first discussion also, it is take some more time, but we are doing in the phased manner, and the new present capex we are doing, whatever the into the pipeline, we are complete it first, and then we have to expand as per the demand and requirement basis.
Okay, so no major capex plan for next year at least.
Yeah. At present, we do not have only on the basis of the demand and case manner, we'll be doing discipline
okay.
with the financial management.
Okay, sir. And just the last question, sir. Can you give a revenue or volume split up between MS Cube, GP and scaffolding as percentage of total Arium's revenue?
For Q3 24?
As well as 9 months. It might be great, sir.
As well as 9 months?
Yes.
9 months. So basically, for MS Tubes and scaffolding, is 9 months total contributed in terms of volume 77,000, near to 77,000 roughly, and galvanized product is given almost all 77,000. So both together are 77 major given.
Okay. So GP will remain the greater part, which will be more than 50% for the coming years.
You can say that way also. GP means not only pipe, in terms of pipe, coil, and apart from GP, cold load coil, pipe are there, and other product baskets is also there.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal Financial Services for closing comments.
Sir, do you want to have a closing comment?
Yes. No, we do not have.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much, sir. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all.
On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.